Well, good evening. Good to be back here. Just kind of getting whiplash here. All I did was preach to really young people here. And I go over there and preach to really old people. I don't know. Well, just gave you a compliment there, Dale. Really hard to preach to old people. It's really easy here. Preaching to old people. I don't know. Maybe I could grow a beard or something to help me out or something. We're all his children? I feel a little bit prejudiced, though, when I'm preaching for these old people. Like, oh, I'm whippersnapper. You don't know what you're talking about, you know? Here, everyone just... Yeah, that's right. There, it seems a lot different. But anyways, is anyone curious about anything? Not much. Pastor preached, that was exciting. His memory was pretty good. He was able to preach an expository message, way better than mine. Anyways, they all liked it. So that was good to see him there. They all got a blessing out of that. What else is happening? Oh, trying to think of what to name the church in Spanish. It's really hard to say lifeline in Spanish. I don't really have a lifeline in Spanish. I kind of mentioned the fact that I couldn't think of what to name it, and they all got really worried, like I was going to start this Spanish thing in their building. Like, you know, I'd keep it the same if, you know, lifeline was like a proper noun or something smart like that. But is lifeline a proper noun? Depends how you use it, I guess, huh? Anyways, I don't know what we're going to do about that. But got the bathroom kind of remodeled and just not kind of need to make some bedrooms and we can move over there. Well, let's go to Leviticus 25. Can't think of anything else but to preach here. Leviticus 25. Oh, it doesn't rain over there. I think it's like maybe God's country or something. We don't get colds either. You sure you want me to preach it? Leviticus 25. I don't know. I think it might be God's country over there. We're going to read here. Chapter 25. We're going to read 1 to 17 here. Let's read it here. It says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses in Mount Sinai, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When ye come into the land which I give you, then shall the land keep a Sabbath unto the Lord. 6 years thou shalt sow thy field, and 6 years thou shalt prune thy vineyard, and gather in the fruit thereof. But in the seventh year shall be a Sabbath of rest unto the land. A Sabbath for the Lord, thou shalt neither sow thy field nor prune thy vineyard. That which groweth of its own accord of thy harvest thou shalt not reap, neither gather the grapes of the vine undressed, for it is a year of rest unto the land. And the Sabbath of the land shall be meat for you, for thee, and for thy servant, and for thy maid, and for thy hired servant, and for thy stranger that sojourneth with thee. And for thy cattle, and for the beast that are in thy land, shall all the increase thereof be met. Shall be meat, sorry. And thou shalt number 7 Sabbaths of years unto thee, 7 times 7 years, and the space of the 7 Sabbaths of years shall be unto thee 49 years. Then shalt thou cause a trumpet of jubilee to sound in the 10th day of the 7th month. In the day of atonement shall ye make the trumpet sound throughout all your land. And ye shall hallow the 15th year at 50th. Big difference there. My Bible has a hyphen right there. Leads me to question. How the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. Oh yeah, 49 then comes 50. That makes sense now. 7 times 7. It's all making sense now. Inhabitants thereof, it shall be a jubilee unto you, and ye shall return every man unto his possession, and ye shall return every man unto his family. A jubilee shall that 50th year be unto you. Ye shall not sow, neither reap that which groweth of itself in it, nor gather the grapes of it in thy vine undressed. For it is the jubilee. It shall be holy unto you. Ye shall eat the increase thereof out of the field. In the year of this jubilee, ye shall return every man unto his possession. And if thou sell aught unto thy neighbor, or buyest aught of thy neighbor's hand, ye shall not oppress one another. According to the number of years after the jubilee, thou shalt buy of thy neighbor. And according unto the number of years of the fruits, he shall sell unto thee. According to the multitude of the years, thou shalt increase the price thereof. According to the numbers of the fewness of years, thou shalt diminish the price of it. For according to the number of the years of the fruit doth he sell unto thee. Ye shall not thereof oppress one another, but thou shalt fear thy God, for I am the Lord your God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your love upon us. Thank you for your mercies toward us. Thank you for this passage and how clear you are on this. And I ask, Lord, that you would please work in the church today and in my life. And Lord, we think of Jaden. Lord, I ask, Lord, that you please work a miracle in his body, that you please heal him, Lord. We're very burdened by this, and his family, all of us, Lord, know him, and so many that don't know him as well, Lord, deeply burdened, need your help, Lord, and pray that you would show yourself strong this time, I pray. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the first thing about this passage is the emphasis, again, on the Sabbath. It wasn't not just talking about regular Sabbaths that happen on, you know, once a week, but it's talking again about some special Sabbaths. In Baptist circles, I think there's a little bit of the subculture that comes from the Bible, you know, but things are taken sometimes a bit to an extreme that, you know, come from parts in the Bible, but that I read my own writing here. But it we take it. I knew I was going to have a hard time with this because of the way I wrote it. I'm having a hard time again here. Anyways, we look at the word Sabbath. I feel like sometimes we overlook it because of the fact how that's kind of what the Seventh-day Adventists do. And we think, you know, that can't be for us today. That's what they do, you know. That's irrelevant. We're not going to look at that any time. It kind of goes against our Baptist subculture. I mean, Baptists, what are we known for? Size eating. We're known for our soul winning. We're known for our missions conferences, you know, and you know, raising funds for that, sending out missionaries. You know, we're all about the production part. That's kind of what we're good at, you know, and you know, you go to any kind of a conference or any kind of a soul winning meeting or any kind of a any meeting, it's kind of usually about, you know, questions that pastors ask each other, you know, how's the attendance going, you know, how many professions of faith, how many baptisms, you know, how many got going out soul winning, how many tracts you passing out. How many visitors, you know? And it's a good thing it says there in Hebrews, to provoke one another to good works. But I think sometimes we go so far to run away from this word Sabbath that we kind of maybe distance ourselves from it. And I think Lord kind of put this in the Bible to kind of bring a little bit of balance to us. You know, we got the production, and it's a good thing. We're supposed to do a lot for the Lord, but there's also a bit there about the Sabbath and seeing what the Lord wants us. Why did He put that in there? And I kind of think, well, you know, that's what the Seventh-day Adventists believe. You know, so we're just going to run away from that. And every time we come across, you know, the word Sabbath, no, that's not for us. That's for the Old Testament. You know, that's irrelevant now. You know, we should be careful to remember that just because something in the Old Testament doesn't fit the church doesn't mean that it's irrelevant. There is going to be life after the church age. I'm glad for that. It's going to be life after the church age. It is. There's going to be a future after the church age. And that is where the doctrine of the Sabbath is relevant for us now. It's something for us that comes next, that we are to be anticipating. You know, what do you do when you girls are making cookies? Making cookies, there you got, mix the ingredients, you know, and you're mixing it all up. But what do you think about doing while you're mixing it up? I should be doing what to save time? No? No. Bad analogy. Should have picked something else. Preheating? Is that a thing? Yeah? It's a thing? We do that here? I don't know. It's been a while since I baked cookies. Yeah, it's what's coming next. I'm going to anticipate putting those cookies in the oven. So what am I going to do? I'm going to preheat the oven so when I'm done mixing, I'm ready to put those cookies in the oven. It's what comes next. So let's not just call, you know, the Sabbath heresy because, you know, the Seventh-day Adventists preach it and focus only on production. Sabbath is very close to God's heart. Remember, who was it, the first being to celebrate the Sabbath? It was God. He worked those days, and then he says, you know what? Now everything is good. I just want to take a step back and admire all the stuff I did to enjoy his creation. You know, he wasn't taking a break. God wasn't taking a break on the Sabbath, was it? It was a time to look back. He says, I'm done now. It's all finished, and now I can appreciate all that I created. And I kind of think, you know, as a kid, you know, on Sunday, here comes Sunday, and all, usually my nephews would come over after church or something, and it was, you know, exciting day to finally have, you know, some nephews to play with and whatnot. And my sisters were always like, no, William, you can't go out and play in the field. You can't go running around with your nephews. You need a day to think about God. And I kind of got this concept of, you know, this red light day or like playing freeze tag. Oh, I'm frozen for this whole day. You know, I can't do anything fun today. And just kind of had this, you know, idea that this, you know, obviously it wasn't the Sabbath. It was on a Sunday, but, you know, it wasn't very all that enjoyable. But that's not how God wants us to think of it as a time of, you know, well, now what do? You know, let's see here in Deuteronomy. Keep your finger probably there. I think we're going to come back to it in a minute. Deuteronomy 20 verse 1. Deuteronomy 20 verse 1. Says here, when thou goest out to battle against thine enemies, and seest horses and chariots and a people more than thou, Be not afraid of them, for the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And it shall be, when ye are come nigh unto the battle, that the priest shall approach and speak unto the people, and say unto them, Hear, O Israel, ye approach this day unto battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts faint, fear not, and do not tremble, neither be terrified, because for the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you, your enemies, to save you. And the officers shall speak unto the people, saying, What man is there that hath built a new house, or hath not dedicated it? Let him go and return to his house, lest he die in the battle, and another man dedicate it. And what man is he that hath planted a vineyard, and hath not yet eaten of it? Let him also go and return unto his house, lest he die in the battle, and another man eat of it. And what man is there that hath betrothed a wife, and hath not taken her? Let him go and return unto his house, lest he die in the battle, and another man take her. So you see, was it all about production and conquering the enemy here and you know, just spending all your time here to get the bad guys? No. God says, you know what? I made life. I want you guys to enjoy your life. I want you to enjoy your vineyard. I want you to enjoy your house. I want you to enjoy these gifts that I've given you. There's a place for that. It's not all about production, as you know, sometimes we can kind of incur the idea in all of our messages about it. You know, the Seventh-day Adventists try to make the Sabbath relevant in the church age. Well, it doesn't fit, does it? So it doesn't work there. And so we need to be careful that it is relevant, but just not in the church age. It's relevant to something that's happening in the future. You might be thinking, well, you know, if you're like a gung-ho Baptist, I guess, would be thinking, you know. Well, you know, the rich man in Luke 12:19, what did he say? He said, Soul, you guys remember how I got it? Thou hast, let's go, Luke 12:19. How is it that God wants me to enjoy life? Isn't that kind of a bad thing? Luke 12:19. And I will say unto my soul, soul, I will say unto my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required. Then who shall these things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself, is not rich towards God. You might, you know, think that this guy here, he wanted to enjoy his life, and look, he got reproved by God. But think about it. This rich man didn't decide to enjoy life till when? Till he got a certain number there in the bank. Till he got a certain amount of his barns full. And he said, okay, now I think I can go enjoy life now. It wasn't at a predetermined time. He was waiting till he got everything filled up. Then he says, now I'm going to go enjoy my life. And what did the Lord tell him? He says, fool, you're foolish for thinking that. He's like, yeah, you had time to enjoy life and you squandered it. And now I'm going to take your soul. You lost your chance. The Sabbath here that we read about was different. It was a prearranged time when everyone was going to take a step back and admire God for what he is and what he did for him. And here in Leviticus 25, I'm going to look at it again. Is that where we were? Yeah, Leviticus 25. Verse 3 says, 6 years Thou shalt sow thy field in 6 years, thou shalt prune thy vineyard and gather in the fruit thereof, but in the seventh year shall be a Sabbath of rest unto the land, a Sabbath for the Lord. Thou shalt neither sow thy field nor prune thy vineyard. That which groweth of its own accord of thy harvest thou shalt not reap, neither gather the grapes of the vine undressed, for it is a year of rest unto the land. And the Sabbath of the land shall be meat for you, and for thee, and for thy servant, and for thy maid, and for thy hired servant, for thy stranger that sojourneth with thee. So every, how many years? Every 7 years, you're not to plant, you're not to, whatever grows out there of itself, you know, it's still got some old seed left in there, and it sprouted by itself. You can go out there and you can have a picnic. You can go take your barbecue out there or whatever. See an onion there and go out there and have a picnic or something right out there where you found it. Or out there you can eat a apple off tree, but you can't go out there and bring it home and try to make merchandise of it. It was a time to just go out and enjoy it where you found it. It was a time to depend on God's provision and look at the handiwork of his creation instead of just trying to capitalize on it. Instead of trying to just find a way to make more or something. The time to actually just stop and enjoy it. You know, imagine, you know, the joy of kids, you know, counting down the years. You know how they count down for Christmas, you know. Wesley keeps asking me, how many more days for Christmas? How many more days for Christmas? But imagine counting down the years, waiting for the special time to come every 7 years when they were going to be able to have time to, you know, not have to go weed that garden anymore or something like that. You know, be able to have more time to spend with their parents and be able to play more with their friends. And a whole year, you know, imagine the amazement of the parents. You know, as they saw God provide for them that year, in which they didn't plan anything. They were completely dependent on God, and yet God provided for them again. And every 7 years it was like this, and just kind of really amazing to them as they saw that every 7 years. And you know the reset they got by just looking at the bountifulness and creativity of their God. You know. You know how we get reset come Thanksgiving time? Kind of look back and kind of appreciate it and just think, you know, spending time with family and whatnot. It really, really kind of reset. Well, it's kind of like a reset for them as well. Resetting their thoughts to thankfulness instead of thinking about how I can make more and make more. And then, once in your lifetime, or maybe if you were born just right, you know, twice in your lifetime, we had a super Sabbath, you know. If the Sabbath of years, it was kind of like, you know, a Christmas. This was like an extra special Christmas, and we see here that in verse 8. Verse 8 says, And thou shalt number seven Sabbaths of years unto thee, seven times 7 years, and the space of the seven Sabbaths of years shall be unto thee 49 years. And then thou shalt cause a trumpet of jubilee to sound in the 10th day of the 7th month. In the day of atonement shall ye make the trumpet sound throughout all your land. And so, and then an extra special day would happen. It was called the what? You guys still awake with me? The Jubilee. We got the Jubilee. And the Jubilee was like a year-long Christmas if, you know, the IRS got involved, if all the car dealerships got involved, if, you know, the government and the banks all got involved. You know, it was an amazing, amazing year. It was a time of nationwide joy and restoration, and all the servants who were pressed into service all got to come home and the family reunions. Imagine the joy of all the families being able to finally get together and see your older brothers and your older sisters and have a great time again with their family. Time of restoring of properties, you know, not just like the IRS giving you a little bit back that you gave them. I mean, this was a restoring of your properties every 50 years. And you might think, well, that must just be terrible deal for me having to lease some land or something and having to give it back. But, you know, this was unanimous. Everybody had something coming back to them. You know, it wasn't just a one-sided thing. I mean, everybody, it was just, it was, you know, kind of like the ultimate, you know, monopoly breaker up. Just a great big reset, you know. But, you know, here's the point here. You know, it wasn't like everyone was blindsided by this event, you know, called Jubilee. This was something they were to be looking forward to. This was something that they were to be making all their deals were with the Jubilee in mind. They were to count down the years till when this happened. Look at 16:17. It says, according to the multitude of years, thou shalt increase the price thereof. And according to the fewness of years, thou shalt diminish the price of it. For according to the number of years of the fruits, doth he sell unto thee. Ye shall not therefore oppress one another, but thou shalt fear thy God, for I am the Lord your God. Everything was you know, based on the Jubilee, how many years till the Jubilee came. And this is how it's relevant to us now in the church age. The value of everything went down the closer you got to when? The Jubilee. You know, nobody would ever pay full price for something that was soon to be restored to the seller. You know, why would you want to pay full price when it's just going to be quickly returned? You know, this was a really good way to battle inflation, you know. Yeah, Mr. Powell there, imagine him trying to battle inflation there, trying to mess around with those interest rates, trying to keep the nation going here. But this was the ultimate inflation remover. Everything physical, what? Started to get devalued the closer you got to Jubilee time. And everything relational, everything spiritual was what? Was honored. It went up. You know, it's probably pretty obvious where I'm going right now with the message, you know. You might think, you know, well, there's a real big problem here. They could count down, you know, 48, 49. Here it comes next year, 50, you know. But we can't count down to when Jesus comes back, can we? No. It's probably a good thing, too. Otherwise, we probably wouldn't do anything till number 49 or whatever, you know. Oh, Jesus is going to come back next year. Oh, we better get busy now. Yeah, you know, we probably, you know, just take all those other years off, not do anything. But, you know, seems that as if anything, we as believers, you know, we generally, not saying everybody or anything like that, are kind of doing the opposite of what people did before the Jubilee. You know, I'm just as guilty as anyone. You know, it's kind of like if we tried living, you know, back when our parents preached the rapture all the time. We tried living, you know, that way. The way here the Israelites were living before the Jubilee. Oh, here it comes, here it comes, here it comes. And Jesus didn't come, so we kind of gave up. And kind of thought, well, he didn't come then, so we don't say it, we don't believe it, but we act it. Like, you know, I guess maybe he's not even coming at all. Let's look at Luke 21:34. Luke 21, 34. It says, and take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you, what? Unawares. For as a what? As a snare shall it come upon all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. You know, it would have been a snare, a snare like a trap. It would have been a trap to have paid full price for something right before Jubilee. You know, if someone was trying to put something over you, you know, or maybe some stranger or something didn't know about this thing that the Jews did every you know, 50 years. You know, it would have been a trap for him to pay full price because it's just going to be restored to the former owner. And it would be a snare, a trap for us. So the closer and closer we get to the trumpet sounding, to the time of our rest, to pay full price for things of this world now. Let's go now to Romans 13:11. Romans 13:11. That's where we're going to finish up here. Romans 13:11. It says, and that Romans 13:11 says, and that knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Can't get much clearer than that, right? It says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this, these pictures that you put in your word, pictures that point to what's coming right down the road for us believers, Lord, a time of which we be able to rest from our labors, Lord. And you know, rest is great for those who are working hard. It's something we look forward to. And I ask, Lord, that you find faith on the earth when you return. And I pray that you would find us all, Lord, if we're alive when you come back, that we would be working hard in your field, because be able to appreciate what's coming down the road for you, with you, I pray. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.